And now the reading of the gospel. Today we are reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. These are the words that Jesus provides in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, but if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture. I wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me and with me before we begin the sermon. Lord, I pray that those who take in this time, those who enjoy this sermon, I pray that they would find that they meet you within it. I pray that you would inspire the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, and that these words might be a blessing to those who gather at this time. Amen. Victoria Price was working as a reporter for a local NBC affiliate. She was on the air, and she suddenly received an urgent suggestion to seek her doctor. The idea didn't come from a coworker or a supervisor. It came from someone who was watching the news broadcast. The email read this way. Hi, I just saw your news report. What concerned me is the small lump I can see on your neck. Please have your thyroid checked, it said. Now, by itself, those words might be unconcerning, but this person added this. It reminds me of my neck, and mine turned out to be cancer. Please take care of yourself. Well, Victoria Price did consult her doctor, and it turned out that that eagle-eyed viewer was absolutely correct. There was a lump on her neck, and it was, in fact, cancerous, and she did eventually schedule surgery, and she had it removed. Thankfully, all is well. And Price expressed her gratitude on a subsequent Instagram post. She wrote, "Had I never received that email, I would have never called my doctor. The cancer would have continued to spread. It's a scary and humbling thought. I'll be forever grateful to the woman who went out of her way to email me, a total stranger. She had zero obligation to do that, but she did it anyway." Isn't it amazing how people can feel connected even during this pandemic that keeps us all at an arm's length? We can still feel really connected to other people. And what I want you to think about this morning is, what's the quality that allows you and me to feel connected? Sometimes we feel disconnected from other people, disconnected from old activities, but what enables us to feel connected? And I would make an argument that one of the biggest ways that we can feel connected is through the practice of generosity. When that woman, when that viewer wrote Victoria Price that email, where she was obviously concerned about her health, concerned about something she saw, she was being generous. Generosity happens when we show interest or concern or compassion toward another person, and we act on it in some way. That's generosity. It's both the empathy and the action. The email of concern was a generous act, and it's remarkable how one act of generosity connects one person to a total stranger, someone they've never met before, but suddenly those two people enjoy the bond of connectedness that Ms. Price talked about in her Instagram post. She's just so grateful for that generosity. Well, one of the richest sections in the New Testament is found in Matthew 5 through 7. And I want to encourage you to read Matthew 5 through 7 over the next day or next couple of days. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Those of you who receive Bibles who have third graders, we just gave away those third grade Bibles about a month ago. This would be a great thing to focus on for the next couple days as a family. But I hope all of us will do this. Matthew 5 through 7. Jesus in that section talks about generosity. And he talks about generosity as an investment. Now that may sound odd, because usually when we're generous, we feel like we're giving something away. We feel like we're losing something. We feel like we're giving away money, we're giving away time, we're giving away our skills, and it feels quite often, and people describe it this way, as loss. Well, I could have used that money to do this, but I'm giving it away, and so that's what I've lost. Economists would call that an opportunity cost. You lose that opportunity because you took advantage of this one. And sometimes when people are generous, we have this residual feeling. We think, wow, you know, if I wouldn't have had that money and given it away, right now we could be enjoying X or Y, and that would be really thrilling. Well, Jesus tells us that when we're generous, we are investing in things that God invests in. We're investing in things that matter. In fact, Jesus says that when we put our money in things that the world treasures, there's actually an opportunity cost to that. When you buy something online, when you use money for an experience, there's an opportunity cost to doing those things. And the opportunity cost is that we lose the opportunity to invest in the things that the Bible tells us matter to God. Jesus says in this section in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal." And then this really important line, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let me give you an example. Our church recently invested in a treasure in heaven. A few months back, we heard a call from an organization called the Leadership Mission International. And they have a school that teaches girls in Honduras to be leaders. And these girls are back in school primarily because the money we sent helped pay for the transportation for the girls to get there, along with other items important to the school at this time. Now, the video I'm going to show you is a thank you from some of those girls in that school. Take a look.
Estábamos emocionadas por llegar al campo y comenzar nuestro estudio así, pero la falta de transporte y otros gastos era un gran obstáculo durante esta pandemia.
Currently, we have been at TLC for 2 weeks. We are already start classes. Thanks to you, Restoration and Flourish Church.
Treasures in heaven. The great thing about those girls is that they're going to carry that education everywhere they go from now on. Once you educate someone, they carry that asset in every part of their life. Once you teach them math, they've got math. Once you teach someone to read, they've got reading. And they're going to carry that from location to location, from job to job, and no one can take that. No thief can steal that. No moth can chew it up. That's a treasure in heaven. And I think that when we do something in the context, especially for those girls in a Christian education, we give them the gift of faith as well, that they're already getting that at home, they're already getting that in other contexts, but it's being amplified. And what I would say is, friends, Jesus points out things like that, and he says, that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. Invest in that. Now, you just saw that video. You're a member of Flourish United Methodist Church. We, with our restoration campuses, we invested in that. So now you feel invested in that. But I want you to notice what's happening. That act of generosity that you were a part of is now a part of your life. And how do you feel right now? Don't you feel a little bit more connected? Now, I know you're saying, well, I've never really even met those students. I don't know those young women. But don't you feel like you're connected to a really good thing because of generosity? That's its power. It connects you not only to the girls in another country, but it connects you to the other florist members that you're part of a church with. We experience this ongoing connection whenever we are generous. That is a part of the good stuff as well. And we're in a time where so often people are just talking about how disappointing people can be, how bad things have gotten, how argumentative everything is. But that act of gratitude in that video shows you something that's definitive. There are lots and lots of really good people trying to do really good things, sometimes for people they've never even met, but who matter and who God knows. That's the power of generosity. Suddenly, we're connected. Jesus connected to others in his life. Jesus spent his life serving and giving. He cared for the sick. He defended the oppressed. He forgave the repentant. He ate with sinners and outcasts. Jesus was always connecting with people, and he was often connecting with people that were the most disconnected, the people that had been rejected, the people that were talked about and laughed at and called names. Those were the people, if you read the Gospels, Jesus spent the majority of his time with. Finally, Jesus gave his life on a cross to show us the love that would conquer both sin and death. He suffered, believing that he would be resurrected to offer hope and to offer new life to every one of us. Jesus' entire life is an act of generosity. His teaching, his time, his healing, his death, and his resurrection. Every element of that life is about generosity. And we're going to celebrate that today when we receive Holy Communion in just a few moments. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say this, "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." It's in his generosity that Jesus is connected to you and to me and to everybody else. That's what we celebrate in the sacrament this morning. We're not talking about something as small as money here. That's what I want you to hear. Because can I tell you something? There are people. Now, I want to tell you how much I love our congregation, because whenever I preach about giving or generosity, I just don't have anybody who comes up and complains about it. But I've got colleagues in the ministry in churches where if they read this text, it seemed to be subversive for some reason. It seemed to be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're talking about money. Well, Jesus does that. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and you'll despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Money and the desire for comforts and security of wealth is important to us. It motivates so much of our activity, and it motivates a lot of anxiety. When Kelly talked about the anxieties in that backpack that people carry around, make no mistake, for adults, one of those is about money. And so we hear Jesus saying, you know, you can't serve God and money at the same time. And we think, wow, Jesus, that's a big deal. Are you suggesting that I give up on my financial dreams and my financial comforts and just serve God? And Jesus looks back and says, look, I'm only talking about money here. Because the voice that's speaking of this, the voice of Christ, is the voice who gave his life. Money's just this small thing in the collective total of who you are and what you are about. And that's why Jesus had no problem speaking about it. I think Jesus would look at us and say, when money becomes the big thing in your life, when comfort becomes the big thing in your life, when wealth becomes the big thing in your life, and you are so focused on those things that you no longer invest in the treasures of heaven, you've got the wrong portfolio. You're investing in the wrong stuff. And that's why you feel disconnected. And friends, a lot of people feel disconnected not because of a global pandemic. Many people were feeling disconnected before this pandemic began, and the pandemic is simply accentuating the feeling of disconnection. Jesus clearly tells us that if our life is spent running around to buy this or do that, because I know now that what people say is, well, I'm not about things, I'm about experiences. But friends, experiences cost money too. In fact, experiences can be a lot more expensive than certain items that people buy. Jesus isn't telling you get rid of things and do experiences. Jesus is asking you to look at the total portfolio, and he's asking this: are you investing in the treasures of heaven? That's his question. So if you've simplified your possessions, that's great. That doesn't mean you've become more generous. Now, many of you have simplified your possessions to become more generous, and that's the track that Christ speaks about today. But many of us want to say, but Jesus, are you talking about our money? I mean, are you really doing this? And I think what Jesus is talking about is generosity. Because you can't read the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount or any other place in any other gospel without understanding that his is a life of love, of service, and of generosity, of spirit and in kind. It's your time, it's your talent, and it's your income. Jesus in John 15, 13 said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, friends, that's the standard that Jesus brings to us. That's what he's asking us to live with. So again, my question is this: how's your portfolio? Are you invested in the treasures of heaven, or is your portfolio only invested in the treasures of earth? Jesus gave his life on a cross to show us that he would, in fact, conquer sin and death. He gives away his life, and he teaches us to do the same. He says, "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves will not break in and steal, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is telling us to invest in things that matter to God. Friends, when a child is hungry, that matters to God. When a student doesn't have access to education because they don't have access to the internet or to the computer, that matters to God, and that's a problem that God wants us to solve. When someone is homeless because they've recently been evicted, that matters to God. When a returning citizen who was once incarcerated but now returning to life in his normal life or her normal life, can't get a job, can't get an apartment, and can't start over, that matters to God, who wants to set the oppressed free. One group of people is afraid that they're going to be victimized by another group. That matters to God, and so it should matter to us. People don't know the love of Jesus. That matters to God. Teenagers feel depressed. That matters to God. Old people feel isolated and alone. Those things matter to God. And our investment with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure in those things is how Jesus says we will meet him. We will feel connected to God and to each other and, yes, to the world. How's your portfolio? How's your time? How's your talent? How's your treasure being expended in your day-to-day life? Novelist and essayist Wendell Berry has a unique image for the perils of individualism. He said, you know, he talks about how so often we think about the world as just this individual thing, how I'm doing or how just my family's doing. And we don't necessarily think about a generosity beyond that. In fact, friends, there are some people who want to brag about how they've invested in the things of the world so much that they're really wealthy. They've got all these things. And they make it sound like that's where the good investment is. That's where success is. But it's not. It's just not. So Wendell Berry was walking with a friend of his, and they noticed a plot of Maximilian sunflowers. You may not know about that type of sunflower. It grows to be sometimes 10 feet tall. It grows in big clusters. It's like a sunflower in community with other sunflowers. But as they were taking a walk, they found this one Maximilian sunflower that was living alone. It was off by itself. And Wendell Berry observed that one solo plant had grown very tall, but it was clearly not healthy. The blossoms were so thick and heavy, they were starting to break the stems of the plant right off. Barry noted that in one sense, that plant had succeeded as a solo plant. It had those big blooms, but it was suffering because it had nothing else. It was disconnected. And it had failed in its purpose as a Maximilian sunflower because they grow in big clusters, connected together in community, beautiful to the eye. And Barry concluded, he said, "We could say that achieving success in a solo form, in an individual form, was that plant's failure, not its success. It failed because it lived outside of its important definition, which consists of community. A part of its healthy potential lay in its ability to be in community and not off by itself." Friends, generosity is what connects us. Generosity is what makes all the blooms brighter and more beautiful. Your life, my life. I think that's why so many of us over the years have celebrated the generosity of our church. A church that when there's a major natural disaster, we send money immediately, whether it's wildfires or hurricanes. A church that gives away its entire Christmas Eve offering. A church which year after year, even as we've built buildings and expanded our ministry inside our Florist family, we've also always been connected to our community and expanded who we help in that community. Of course, our primary mission is to bring people to the love of Christ and to teach people about the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. But being a disciple means we have to also care about all the things Jesus cared about, those things that I mentioned earlier, that God would call the treasures of heaven. That's what we're about. Now, you know, usually this time of year, I ask you to fill out an estimate of giving card. We talk about this for 2 or 3 weeks in a row. And I say, hey, would you fill out one of these cards? Estimate your giving. That'll help you with your generosity. It'll help the church understand where we are. But this year, I want you to know we're not going to do that at this time. I won't be doing that over the next couple of weeks. And we're not going to do that for a couple of reasons, and here's why. First, I think it's a really uncertain time. It's uncertain because of the pandemic, the economy, and the coming election. I don't think you could give accurate information on that card even if you wanted to. Maybe some of you could, but many of us could not. So we're going to wait until January or February into the new year. We want you to be able to do that accurately, but here's the other thing. While many in our church are doing really well, we have others in our church that are really struggling economically because of the impact of the pandemic. As your pastor and your other clergy, we didn't want to put anything else on the plates of those families right now. We didn't want them to feel anxiety. We didn't want them to feel like, oh my goodness, I'm failing my church in some way. Because you know what? If you're trying to figure out where your job is or what's going to happen next month, you don't need that on top of it in this unique time. So we'll come back to that in January, February. And I just want you to know that's where we are. Why? I want you to feel connected to your church. I want you to know that if you've got trouble, you can call your church, as people have done even in this past couple of weeks. We've had some families that have called and said, you know what, for the first time in my life, I could use some help. And thank God you're a generous people. You care about the treasures of heaven, and so we've been able to help families pay their rent, pay some utility bills, do other things that's just taken that pressure off so they can focus on their family, on their children, and on everything else they've got to do to find that new job and get started again. Friends, that's the power of generosity. And that's what members of our church have done. Right now, if you can give more and be more generous with your church because you know that others can't right now, that would be great. But in January and February, I'm going to ask you just to keep giving until then, and then we'll fill out the estimate of giving cards and do all those things. I have always experienced, well, since my adult life, I've experienced Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount just to be a reordering teaching. Build up treasures in heaven, he says, because nothing can take them away. Nothing can steal them. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. I hope that your heart is with Christ. Your heart is with the serving, loving,